When I rewatched season 3 of Transformers, I realized it was pretty good, and I actually rewatched a few episodes of season 1 because of our discussion at the beginning of last show.
Right, same here.
It's not even close. It's actually embarrassingly off how strong one is, and I put it all on that writer. I can't remember his name, but
when you change writing teams?
Well, you know, they wanted to go with a darker product, and what you ended up with was just poor character development, very gimmicky characters. Blur in particular makes me angry to even think.
Part of the problem with Transformers and that situation is the fact that, much like in wrestling, when a whole crew decides to leave and jump ship and they're introducing new characters and such, you know, the toy company should have just had variants and different variations of those. Ultra Magnus should have been Optimus Prime 2.0. They could have just, you know, rehashed it.
Right.
I mean, Optimus Prime even fresher, but they opted not to do that and have a whole new character, which is hard to invest in. So I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't want to go into the whole thing again, but I mean, I'm holding a strong.
It's a toy company.
You know, you got lucky with Optimus Prime. Those episodes are even better than I thought they were. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the good versus evil struggle, Prime doing the right thing. No, the Dinobots should stay because they did the right thing when the chips were down, bro. I made a mistake. You know?
Vince Russo books territory now.
Hey, incidentally, he's very good at basketball. I did want to point that out. Optimus Prime. There's one episode he plays
Vince Russo, too.
Everybody thinks they're good at basketball until they play me.
Right, right. So welcome to Pro Wrestling Cast, the show about Transformers, hair, heavy metal, music, and of course, pro wrestling. That's in the mix somewhere here, Wrestling Cast. Stephen Anthony and Al John Go here, our weekly look into the world of professional wrestling, news and commentary. We've got a lot to talk about. We also have, we're going to talk TNA, we're going to talk the WWE, we're going to talk about Bret Hart, and we're going to talk about... oh, yes. We're going to talk about Beyond the Mat.
Oh, yeah. My favorite movie ever.
It is quite interesting. We're going to talk about not being booked. So that's going to be part of our promo of the week. Hey, let's not forget too, folks. Thank you so much for tuning into our program, pressing play on YouTube and or Stitcher Radio, iTunes. We really appreciate it. Another great way that you can support our show is Patreon. So we have a Patreon link at ProWrestlingCast.com. When you click on that, for a minimum of $1, you can donate to us monthly for us to continue doing what we're doing and making show upgrades. We do appreciate that, and there are different tiers and different rewards for that. So please feel free to indulge us. Feel free to help us out by supporting us through the Patreon link. Another way you can do that is through Amazon. Every time you click and shop through Amazon using our Amazon banner, we get a little bit of commission from Amazon, and it doesn't cost you any more money. It just simply helps our show out and helps us. Amazon throws us a little bit of pocket change for that. Every little bit that you buy there using our Amazon link. And last but not least, our links to High Spots as well as WWE Shop and WWE Network. So when you click on those, when you're subscribing as a new subscriber, if you're just finding our podcast, we do appreciate it. Click on those links and support our show. All of the great things that you can do is available there at ProWrestlingCast.com, and click on our shop link and you'll be able to do that as well. And I cannot wait for you to help us out so that we can get the needed upgrades for this program. So we do appreciate that. And now on with the show.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
I can't help that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
Drink it in, man.
Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
The love that was given me, and this time I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion of this hard time blues.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
And I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Pro Wrestling Cast.
Now can you dig that, sucker?
Mr. Fuji passed away this week, and Mr. Fuji, to me, in the rock and wrestling connection era, the 80s that I love of WWE superstar, Saturday morning, Sunday morning wrestling, Mr. Fuji was badass. So Mr. Fuji had passed away this week, yeah. And what are your thoughts on Mr. Fuji?
Well, Mr. Fuji was a terrific wrestler for many years. Mr. Fuji is from Hawaii. He is not actually an evil Japanese manager. You know, on a negative note, you know, the portrayal of him on the TNT show was also racist.
He was basically Odd Job from 007.
Odd Job. But Odd Job almost had more like.
Well, he had no lines. He didn't say anything, but he had his derby, and his derby with a blade on it killed people. So.
One of the greatest promos I've ever seen, and I haven't found it yet for our promo of the week, is Don Morocco with Fuji. I think it's 85. Oh. Whenever Morocco is feuding with Steamboat, Morocco says, "I'm going to take you to the bottom of the pipeline." But he says, "Me and Mr. Fuji are spreading evil all around the world." Like, what a lovely thing to do, you two. And Fuji Vice and all that dumb stuff. That was around that era.
It was great stuff. I mean, I'm very entertained by all of it.
I am too.
I think he was great. But Harry Fujiwara from Honolulu, Hawaii, yeah, passed away on August 28th at the tender age of 82. He lived a full life, and he was trained by one of the best that we pay tribute to all the time, Nick Bockwinkel.
He was trained by Bockwinkel, and he was a legitimately very, very tough guy. I do want people to know that. He was a very tough guy. He could shoot if he had to. He was a great wrestler. And allegedly, the Al Snow Big Boss Man angle with the dog eating was based on a locker room story where the alleged woman pusher, Jimmy Snuka, was fed his own dog by Mr. Fuji, allegedly.
Allegedly. You know, he passed away in Clarksville, Tennessee, which is where I resided for 7-8 years, which was cool. So he is now.
Oh my God, you lived in Clarksville?
Yeah, I lived in Clarksville. Went to school up there.
Nobody told me that.
There you go.
You know, he was a ticket taker at a movie theater in Knoxville after retirement. Knoxville is great too, guys. We're pro Tennessee on this show. That's just guys are gonna have to get used to.
Yes, absolutely. Seek out, there is the Wrestling Managers documentary, which was on the WWE Network. You need to check that out. And he will still remain one of the most feared wrestling managers, managing a lot of heels over the course of his lifetime. So once again, remembered, please check and seek that out. He definitely was one of the shining stars of the 80s era of professional wrestling in the WWF, for sure.
And he lived into his 80s. I think that's important to point out. You know,
yes,
a testament to that time period's type of wrestler as it evolved in different ways later on.
From Osaka, Japan, it is Mr. Fuji.
While largely remembered by fans for his colorful personality as a manager, Harry Fujiwara, better known as Mr. Fuji, was an acclaimed in-ring competitor, capturing World Tag Team Championships on 5 separate occasions. And as illustrious as his accomplishments were in the ring, Mr. Fuji would add a whole new chapter to his career as one of WWE's top managers.
As a manager, Mr. Fuji, I would have to say, one of a kind.
Mr. Fuji is a devious one.
You better watch Mr. Fuji.
What a sinister individual. Look at this.
What was that, salt in the face?
You never know what Mr. Fuji's thinking.
He was like Odd Job, James Bond, with a tuxedo and a hat.
Will sign with me, Mr. Fuji, because I have the power.
So Mr. Fuji was a sneaky, stabby in the back type.
Mr. Fuji is undoubtedly one of the shrewdest managers around today. He's sneaky, and he will do anything to gain a victory.
I want to teach you to be very devious and mean.
He was the guiding force behind a cavalcade of superstars, ranging from tag team champions Demolition to the late, great WWE champion Yokozuna. Although best known for his cunning tactics outside the ring,
His fans would come to appreciate his dry sense of humor on numerous classic skits that took place on Tuesday Night Titans.
Tuesday Night Titans is a unique thing in the business. Just a total tongue-in-cheek look at ourselves.
Would you please welcome our first guest, Mr. Fuji and the Magnificent Morocco.
Tell me, how's your career coming along in film?
All kind Hollywood producer, director, coming to Mr. Fuji and Magnificent One, begging on hands and knees, please, please.
You're both well aware of the standard of the hospital. Dr. Morocco, when I think of all the time and energy I've trained you.
It was just classic, you know, the lines they gave him and, you know, he'd screw him up. And I mean, it was just tremendous.
Where Mr. Fuji and Don Morocco did Fuji Vice, I went from being deathly afraid of Mr. Fuji to seeing him in a different light, but always being entertained by him.
It's obvious we have great talent, we have great ability.
We're about to become rich heroes, partner.
Now you're talking.
He was just so good at what he did.
He'd do interviews in his accent.
And you shall suffer on the floor.
What? You listen to me, I do everything. What's the matter, you?
I think you've definitely shown the world exactly how much talent you and Mr. Fuji really have.
This week in wrestling news.
Al John, have you noticed that Cowboys from Hell is Ric Flair's new podcast theme song?
Yes, I have. Isn't it weird?
What kind of choice was that?
I don't know. Conrad Thompson must have put together that. Either that or the people over at MLW Radio had put that spot together. And
well, actually, someone else is doing it. I tweeted him about it, and he said that, I forget who he's some guy's doing it for them. Some guy put together the idea of the, it's actually very organized now. But I do notice the sonic quality is much lower. I didn't tell that to him because I like Conrad a lot, even though he is an Alabama fan. Mm-hmm. I was listening to his show, their show, and I switched to ours, and ours was noticed significantly louder audio-wise, like someone had turned up the volume considerably.
Well, our podcast is mastered to like a -1, you know, dBs, and it's pretty hot because when you listen to the radio, if you're listening to the radio or satellite radio, it's a pretty hot signal. So right. What I want is for our signal to our show to be just as hot as that, so you don't have to make any adjustments on your radio. And so when you listen to other podcasts, sometimes they're mastered, you know, even lower. And I prefer shows like our show and like the Taz show. There's a couple other radio shows. I think even some of the stuff that the more other radio centric type shows like Sam Roberts and stuff like that, Wrestling Compadres, those shows are mastered pretty high. So yeah. So
radio guys know is kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, radio guys know. And we also, you know, I also have a bunch of different things that I do to process it to make it sound better. So, you know, and that's the one thing I will say that we have over other shows is the levels, the production quality is different. Even though I have a horrible computer, which is super glitchy, and you'll hear some of those glitches, you know, and I apologize for that. That's why we're wanting to upgrade the show, right? That's why we want you to click on our Amazon links. But
we want two new computers. What's so hard to understand, everybody?
Yeah, Steven needs a new computer and webcam. I need a new computer and webcam.
That's this important. Mac is getting old.
That Mac is getting old. Hey, so anyway, that's a little bit of some inside baseball stuff for you regarding the production of our program.
Yes.
But we have a lot of wrestling news to talk about. Let's first go ahead and start with a big boy, WWE. Football season is just around the corner.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, and we had been talking the ongoing situation with ratings.
Right.
And how it's going to affect this fall. I had mentioned the fact that I don't believe that WWE Raw will suffer below a 3-point-something rating during football season. But before the draft, they were suffering some pretty damn low ratings.
Well, they had the 1.87, actually. I mean, you're thinking of millions. Yes. And they had, once they dip below 3 million, that's when they get close to dipping below 2.0. I think they did 3.4 million. So they had a pretty significant jump since the Olympics ended, and SmackDown has gradually, I don't know why, it's probably Mojo Riley, has gradually leapt back to the position it was in what was the draft show, 2.9 or 3 million?
Yeah, almost, about 3 million.
It's almost there again. So some analysts, such as myself, are predicting that when there's a really good Carolina Panthers game on that SmackDown on Monday night, that SmackDown that week will, in fact, beat Raw. And that's pretty interesting because, you know, I think we'll be seeing AJ Styles pretty soon as the champion, which was kind of the plan all along. A lot of negative backlash on Ambrose. Some interesting things are happening. Obviously, The Miz has become a hot commodity because of one good promo. You know, I wish that's what these modern guys realize. On a side note, one good promo changes everything. Look what happened with CM Punk, you know?
Right.
One promo.
Yeah, one promo. Oh, Steve Austin.
Oh, God. Well, there you go. And that's when wrestling was dead.
I mean, and look, I mean, one good promo can change everything. Steve Austin, plain and simple. You know, you have him cut the 316 promo there at King of the Ring against Jake the Snake. And that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens. You have the pipe bomb of a CM Punk. You know, you have the... oh, God, man. I mean, yeah, the list will go on and on. You have the promo of Chris Jericho debuting against The Rock.
Excellent, excellent that moment. It
changes everything. You know, you look at all of those things can change everything. And you're absolutely right about The Miz. And, you know, they have proven that Tuesday nights can be must-see TV if they devote the time and effort. And I guess it's part of the writing. That they had brought the head writer from NXT up in order to help, curve the product into a very must-watch show that it is today.
You know, and a bait and switch in a sense with SmackDown now that we look at it, because Randy Orton got his head beaten in, Stan Hansen style, and John Cena flew off to Hollywood again. So, you know, you really do have Ambrose, AJ, Ziggler,
Miz.
Now Miz is somehow, when they put him number six, I'm like, well, I don't see, like, well, there you go. One promo can do it. He's more interesting than Ambrose. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely. Well, once again, he is there to bring prestige back to the belt where it means something. And him with this go nowhere feud with Daniel Bryan, with Ziggler being his proxy, not even mentioning it on camera, which was very disingenuous. You talk about disingenuous. It's like,
well, God, they screwed that up. I said it last week. You set up a great feud that you can't deliver on, you know, and they had good matches back in 2010. If I'm not mistaken, really good ones, three and a half star TV matches, which is pretty high for a TV match in 2010, guys, about as high as you can get. And those were the dark days, by the way, if you ever watched those back. Those were not good Raws.
Well, I have a feeling that the writing staff did believe that Daniel Bryan could do some type of unsanctioned street fight where he wouldn't have to bump and do other things. And Vince put the kibosh on it, from my understanding. Vince was like, look, we can't do this.
I don't know. I think the promo is just too good. I think that extemporaneous creation created this great moment like Lesnar Austin did last year.
Yeah.
You know, Austin, who's, did you see Austin's elbow on Twitter? Jeez Louise.
Oh my Lord, have mercy.
What's that boy doing? He hadn't wrestled in 20 years.
I don't know. It looks like he's got some kind of weird staph infection or something. I don't know what happened.
You know, do you remember King of the Ring 98? He had the whole thing taped up. He had the same thing in the King of the Ring 98 when they were blowing these ratings away, him against Kane on the cage top. Yep. Remember all that?
Yep.
You can remember he had the same elbow taped up. Pretty interesting.
I have to wonder if he's training for something.
His disgusting elbow made me sentimental for my past.
His disgusting elbow reminded me of John Cena's elbow last year. You remember that? Oh my God. Full of pus and looked like a damn football, you know? Oh my God.
Those main eventers, those main eventers take it all the way. They don't back down, you know. But let's get all the way back to where we were somehow.
All right, let's go back to SmackDown.
SmackDown has been tremendous. No, it hasn't. The ratings have been a tremendous surprise. SmackDown has been marginally good. It's had its good segments. Now that, what do I call Eva Marie now?
Well, you call her suspended is what you call her. She's got another 50 days left. She's got like another 50. She'll be back after Backlash.
Oh, wow, John, you're so good.
You're so good. You set them up and I bowl them down. So I will say this. WWE programming has, in terms of Raw, SmackDown Live, has actually improved. There were a couple times during the Raw, if we can pivot to Raw, that I was just like, wow, this is really intriguing stuff. Several things. There are things that I'm, you know, with both shows that I'm kind of lukewarm about. For one, I'm lukewarm about Apollo Crews's role, you know, which is like, wow, he's just become a total jobber.
King of strong smiles.
Oh my God, that is the best hashtag ever.
I stole that from Hold On To Your Britches, Missy Hyatt, who apparently, and I mean, that's some, you know, interesting older figure from wrestling hits. But what's funny about Missy and her, you know, peccadillos that we talk about is that she watches the same exact wrestling that I do.
You know,
and she was involved in UWF and Mid-South and NWA, and she called him King of Strong Smiles. I thought, geez, that's perfect. That is what's wrong with you.
That is great. I mean, we have Queen of Hug Style, which is Bailey. Then we have King of Smile, Strong Smile. Oh my God, that is just the best. Let's get that trending on Twitter. So
it might if he keeps. But you're right, Apollo Crews. What a sad. I mean, he should have really been. He was really highly touted coming in from his independent work, and
Well, this is part of the. This is part of the problem. If we can just pivot over to NXT, this is the part that of NXT that I don't get. You have people that are baking in the oven, like a Shinsuke Nakamura, like a Bobby Roode, Samoa Joe, and then you have these people that truly need a little bit more time in the oven, Baron Corbin, Apollo Crews, to try to get them over strong, and yet they didn't. I will have to say, I will put Bo Dallas as being strong. I will put Tyler Breeze as being strong at NXT. And when they got called up, that they just kind of got lost in the shuffle because that's the slots that were open for those particular performers at the time. And I get that. I understand that.
Okay. All right.
I understand that they have their role, but man, you know, it just. The opportunities, you know, and I think they're doing what they can with Mojo Rawley being brought up with Zack Ryder all along. I think that they have a place in the tag team division, and that's where they're probably going to be. And that's not a bad role for them.
Actually bringing in Mojo Rawley the way they did and putting him with Ryder and reforming or just keeping the same tag team over to SmackDown was the right thing to do.
Absolutely. Whereas, was.
You know, Tyler Breeze, they brought in wrong. I think there was a misunderstanding of his character. I think sometimes older people misunderstand millennials as sort of having a gay blade. I mean, we all do, but I mean, you know, I think he just misunderstood what the character was. You know, he's just very egotistical, young person, not a gay guy. You know, and I really think they're that backwards in their thinking. That's honestly what he thought the character was. Like, well, this will be a heel like Goldust. It's like, well, no, that's actually nothing like what he is. You know, So there's an example. You know what? This is a bigger problem. It's like Ring of Honor versus WWE in 2005. It's essentially what's been going on all year. So this like 10-12 year gap is really interesting. It's like Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, and then Apollo Crews type of guys, and then Cesaro, you know, who was, as Claudio was so great in Ring of Honor. And then you got, you know, Triple H back set up, right? And we could segue into Owens. Okay, here's my Ring of Honor champion. Okay, here's Tyler Black, Seth Rollins. And then the old mentality, getting them and using them wrong. And they go, I don't want Shinsuke Nakamura. I want Baron Corbin, you know. I want Nia Jax, but I don't want Asuka. You know, that mentality is fighting itself. Because things naturally progress as decades go by. What was underground 10 years ago becomes popular now. We know that with music. So that's what I see. And it's actually made it for an incredibly overall encompassing NXT, CWC, SmackDown, Raw, all encompassing product. So when people say, do you watch Raw? It's like, yeah, I guess so. I mean, what's so great about Raw? What about SmackDown? Well, what's so great about it? But when you put it all together, you know what they should do? They should have one. They should put the rosters together and have one big show.
A super show?
Yeah. You could have like, you know, could you just imagine if Rollins and Ambrose were on the same show feuding?
Wow, imagine that.
Wouldn't that be interesting? And then, you know, you can make SmackDowns and like, you know, just throw away matches. That's what they should do.
So we hadn't talked about the belts for SmackDown. We're still on the SmackDown thing. I was going to pivot to Raw, but let's continue.
No, let's not pivot. You did pivot a lot today.
What do you think? I know, right? What do you think about the new championship belts on SmackDown?
I thought they looked okay. Obviously, we're talking about belt design because that's all people care about, right? Belt design and colors.
Yeah. You know?
There's a reason Galvatron was purple, and there's a reason. Sorry, there's a reason that goofy UWF belt is red, or whatever you call it. What is it called? The red belt.
The Universal Championship.
It will never not be called the red belt, you know? Oh my God, what if Kane wins that belt?
It'd be,
jeez Louise.
Well, he's in the wrong show for one, but they still call him the big red, they still call him the Demon Kane, which I think they need to stop calling him that and call him the big red machine, because you have two demons on two different shows. And I'm like, well, you got two demons on two shows? Wow. Talk about mirrors.
So Kane has squashed a jobber or something, right?
Yes.
So I'm like, can we get our check real quick? Yeah, we're just running late. You know, that's how that feels. I'm like, you got a cane squash. I need to check. I'm sorry. We got to go. I got to go somewhere else. I got some stuff to do. Could I just give you my card and you just go run it? That's how that felt.
That's exactly how that felt.
SmackDown titles, you know, I don't like. I guess they just said, let's have 6 women on SmackDown, 6 or 7 on NXT, and then 7 or 8 on Raw, because I'm not sure if we're gonna have Paige around. We should talk about that. It's controversial, Del Rio, or the controversial company. But you know, you have groups of 6 and 6 and 6. Oh my God, Aljon, I just figured it all out.
Oh no, 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 no,
no. I've said this before, and I think this might be it. No, you know, I just don't like this grouping of 6 they have on there.
Yeah.
So you know, all you can do is put the belt on that classy gal, Eva Marie, and you know, never.
All red everything. Eva.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't mean Eva Marie. I meant Nikki Bella, actually. I really just misspoke. Eva Marie is suspended.
Yes.
So why is she doing a photo shoot? She's doing a photo shoot this weekend, like in the, you know, the scantily clad photo shoot diva thing.
She's doing all kinds of marketing for herself. She's not being busy.
No. WWE is filming and taking lurid photos of her on the beach this weekend.
Right. Oh, I didn't know that.
That's some suspension.
That is really something else.
Really some suspension. Hey, we're suspended. Could you work this weekend? Okay, sure. I'm just kidding.
It's not on TV, so hey, there you go.
It will be though.
When she comes back.
I'm just saying, I've got some. They use that suspension against people. So I don't. I think the only thing, it's a terrible grouping. You know, Becky Lynch and Nikki are all you got. I know you like Carmella, but to have her come out,
now turn heel.
Like, where was that coming from? What kind of how is she a heel? Like, what is heelish about her?
Nothing right now. She just out of the blue just wants to destroy Nikki Bella, so that's fine.
Okay, so I'm not enticed by that division. I'm extremely, actually, they have to stop doing this thing where they bring the roster in the ring. It just looks so small when they do that. You don't need to reveal. Like, if you were to reveal how many people wrestled in Mid-South, I know I always bring them up, but I have to. In the 80s, it would be like 22 people, and you'd be like, oh my God, there's barely anybody that wrestles here.
Right.
It might even be 16. And so you never really want to bring everyone in the ring, and that might just be an error on their part. They did it with the tag teams. But if this is all to build up American Alpha, you know, so be it. I were the Headbangers on my TV? That couldn't be real.
Oh, my God. Yeah, right? So
at least they look pretty much the same.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, T-shirts cover up a lot, and so do skirts. Kilts, I should say. So they bring up the Headbangers to do this, and the brackets are completely lopsided. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Did you see, like, the Usos and American Alpha are on one side, and then there's, like, Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder on the other side, and it's like it's just very lopsided to me.
All I could see was American Alpha Usos as a big match, so I don't know where.
Well, yeah, American Alphas versus Usos. I mean, and then you got Mojo Rawley, Zack Ryder, and then the other money match they have is the Free Agent and Rhino. So you've got the one man band.
Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna tell you right now, that's who should win the tag belts over American Alpha.
Actually, I agree. I agree.
Because I never thought I'd say that in a million years.
Miss Renee, welcome to my humble abode. You know Rhino.
Thank you.
He's really focused. But there is someone I would love to introduce you to. The love of my life. The sunshine of my eyes. This is my wife, Beulah.
Charmed. So nice to meet you.
Well, babe, calm down. Miss Renee, have a seat. I told you I can't rest, please. Calm down.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Here you go.
Look at this. It's like I'm married to Martha Stewart of West Virginia. Baby, it's lovely. Thank you so much.
This really is all so lovely.
Help yourself.
I'm okay right now. Rather, yeah. we'll do the interview first.
Okay.
Heath, I want to know more about how you got here. I mean, I want to take you back to draft night. You were the last member on the WWE roster, and you weren't chosen.
The hell, man? Axel's at Raw, Bo's at Raw, I'm the last one here. Look at this. Isn't this just great?
I just think it was like an oversight, you know? It was just one of those things that happened. I mean, and the one thing that Heath Slater is not is an afterthought.
Oh, honey, that reminds me. I picked up a box of those pizza crusts for dinner.
Pizza crusts for dinner tonight. Baby, thank you. Thank you.
It's interesting. Okay, I want to take you to the night that you confronted Brock Lesnar. What was going through your head that night?
I mean, you know, not too many people have stood toe-to-toe with the beast, you know?
Do you consider yourself one of those people?
Oh, do I consider myself like one of those people? Hell no. You know, it broke me in half, you know? It's a wonder I'm still alive and everything.
Well, Heath, you nearly secured yourself a contract when you defeated Randy Orton.
I mean, you know, having one of Randy's first matches back after surgery was great. And I won. I mean, that was just like icing on the cake for me. I almost had a SmackDown Live contract.
Here you go, sir.
You look so beautiful tonight, you know that? Thank you so much, Stephanie. My kids are gonna appreciate this so much. I mean, Renee, it's like, I did not mean to call Shane beautiful, okay? And with Daniel and Foley, it was like I got the beards mixed up or something, you know? It's like one of those things, like, I mean, it happens, you know?
Sure.
And it's just one of those things where, like, you know, they probably couldn't even meet my demands for my salary anyway, you know, because I shouldn't be getting paid the minimum amount. Ain't that right, babe?
Let's talk about what's next. What does it mean to you to be teaming with Rhino and looking to become the very first SmackDown Tag Team Champions?
Well, I mean, I am lucky to have the opportunity to stand side by side by Rhino, you know? And I mean, it's not for me anymore, you know? It's more for my family.
Rhino, why did you decide to team up with Heath?
Look, Renee, see what it is that Rhino's helping me out so I can start providing for my family again, okay? And I am so thankful for him to do that. And when we win the tag team championships, I'm about to upgrade from this trailer to a double wide.
That's right, baby.
Ooh.
Oh, I wish you could meet our kids.
Oh, yeah.
Are they at school?
No, they're out back picking up cans and bottles.
Okay, listen, thank you so much for inviting us into your home. We really appreciate that. And best of luck to both of you in looking to become the SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
You know, I should show you my above ground pool. It's right out back and everything.
Now, how entertaining have those segments been? You know, we've a pocket of fans are really big fans of Heath Slater, and I have been of his work since day one. I mean, he has been the guy that's the most over. He actually had more personality of anybody else in the core at the time, or at in a lot of those segments from the Nexus. Yeah.
Some back in the day.
Yeah, right. Talk about a flash in the pan. That idea was.
Well, some of those things just don't stick, huh? Some of those ideas you just don't even barely remember. It's weird. Mm-hmm. The Nexus was great, though. I loved the Nexus when they first came out. I thought they blew that too quick. And even John Cena, I think, feels bad about how it got booked. But anyway, yeah, I never really liked him. And all of a sudden, and I'm one of those guys now. I think he's great. I think all of these, you know, and the redheads naturally don't like each other. So it's kind of funny.
All right, Steven.
But I think that's very true. But I think he's just really, it's kind of like you look at each other like, I know you. You're not going to get over on me. It's a weird feeling. But I really think I really think he's excellent. I think Slater's done all, you know, you're given a role. Al Snow described it best on a shoot. He's like, I never realized, he said, I was out there with Head Cheese and Blackman, and I thought, man, I'm ECW's top babyface. Why are they doing this? He said, what I didn't realize is every minute I was allowed to be on that TV, I could do anything I wanted to do, and I blew it. You know, and he's Slater in a role where we're not even drafting you. You're so down the ladder, you're a scumbag, right? And he took total advantage of it, and everybody's talking about him and The Miz and how Ambrose sucks. That's basically what everyone talks about, right? And Eva Marie's suspended. That's it.
Yeah.
So I guess some new people did get opportunities like we wanted to see from the SmackDown split.
Well, speaking of new opportunities, we have Raw. Now we're moving over to Raw. And the job matches continue. And I just ponder this whole situation of how come you have two simultaneous pushes that look exactly the same with Nia Jax and Braun Strowman every single week. I mean, can't they just alternate or do something different? No, they're going to have stupid squash matches every week, which, okay, I said stupid. They're really actually great squash matches. But the fact that they're on the simultaneous trajectory is crazy to me. It's like, we saw this and we're going to interview the job in the ring, and they're going to overshadow the actual talent that's in the ring because their promos are so hilarious. But I like sweaty men.
Well, that
promo was great. It's hilarious. Or, you know, they paid me $500 if I lose, and $1,000 if I win. It's like,
that's funny because so I think good. They really pay them that. They really do get paid that. That's what's funny.
It's so funny. God, it's so funny. But that is kind of a strange thing to me. And I'm trying to think of other things that happened in Raw. So, you know,
that's about it.
Well, yeah, that's about it. then you have this, the new champion, Kevin Owens, being in a four-way match, which everybody was hot and ready for. Great match. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, here comes damn Triple H.
Trips.
Triple H comes out, and instead of putting over, you would think, as Seth Rollins, he actually screws over Seth Rollins, puts him in a pedigree, and asks and looks Kevin Owens in the face. It goes, "Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? You want it? I'm gonna give it to you." Pedigrees Rollins, and then has Kevin Owens looks in the corner in disbelief, covers him for the 1-2-3, becomes the second Universal Champion.
Yeah, I there's a lot of intrigue over this online. I think some people think that this is a Triple H maneuver. I mean, look, Triple H is going to be in the show. Triple H steadily brings up ratings and stuff like that. And he knows that he can do that when he comes on. So it's not the grandiose Kevin Owens win that I would have expected. Which is like him pinning someone in a 30-minute terrific, maybe pinning John Cena in another match in a terrific, you know, 30-minute TV match and winning the title and holding it in the air. But, you know, they never booked him to be like that. And their business metrics told them, don't push this guy too hard. And their business metrics said, you know, job him to Cena. That's just, you know, what they were told by their business metrics. So what you have is kind of like damaged goods Kevin Owens. And you have Seth Rollins, who you have to turn babyface because you want him to feud with Triple H, which they wanted to do last year, and they couldn't do it because, you know, your boy gets hurt all the time, or he hurts people. You know, I'm sticking to that. I don't care. Okay. And I know some people disagree with that, but, you know, that's just my opinion.
Well, right. I mean, yeah. You know, and so that's really an interesting way to book a champion. For one, you don't know who's face, who's heel.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens was the heel moving into it, although he was playing comedic heel with Chris Jericho. That alone leaves some intrigue. Chris Jericho sending out a tweet saying, I can't wait for us to defend the championship, you know, or something of that nature, saying that
he's
part of it too. Since he's his close friend, that he's going to be an integral part of Jericho.
Yeah.
But then you have the situation of him not beating Seth Rollins clean, or by his even by his own cheating to win, like a normal heel would, going over strong. He needed the help of Triple H. Mm-hmm. And Triple H, as he entered the ring, had bewildered looks from Foley and Stephanie going into this. And now what happens? Stephanie McMahon, was this a plan of Stephanie's all along? Is Triple H leading some type of rebellion since he's been off TV since the last time he was on TV?
Right.
What's Mick Foley's role going to be on all this? Is the focus going to once again go back to authority figures, you know, in wrestling, in their storyline, which has dominated over the past 20 years with Raw?
I have two thoughts on this, really. It's like, one is like, God, the authority, right? You know, but here's what they have done, and it's actually genius, and I'm surprised I'm saying that, because they do so much wrong, but they do things right. And when they do something right, it's usually in the main event. And that's really all that matters for them and the way their business is set up. So you've set up multiple scenarios. One scenario, correct. What is the Triple H Stephanie factor? The commissionership, he's back. What does that mean? Second, you can turn Rollins babyface, which they should have probably done out the gate, but things happen. Third, you do give Kevin Owens a huge shove, because even though he didn't pin him in that 30-minute Ring of Honor match with a reverse Canadian Destroyer pile driver, okay, he still has that big red belt, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he did get a push, and also the wink and the nod to the NXT thing. So Seth Rollins was his champion, now Kevin Owens, right? Sort of NXT, Ring of Honor, Triple H. I'm the godfather of indie wrestling, this whole Triple H thing. And then, aside from that, you have the Chris Jericho Owens angle. So now you can do Owens Jericho for the belt if you wanted to. You have and obviously you have a natural feud, Seth Rollins against Kevin Owens, which is a rumored main event of Clash of the Champions. You definitely have Rollins against Triple H set up for WrestleMania. Okay, that's one of your big matchups. And you've also set up Roman Reigns angry at all players. You know, you can kind of take him out of the Rollins Reigns thing, which has really run its course quickly and or slowly, and you can have him feud with Triple H or Owens or whatever you want to. So those are seven or eight things they did with one special appearance. Right. Pretty darn good.
And it opens up the mid-card too, because, you know, you do have Reigns in that upper mid-card feud, which could go into a Big Cass thing. You never know. I mean, Big Cass is, you know, once again, he was great, eliminated early in the Fatal 4-Way, but hey, very effective. And can you imagine the crowd response from, I mean, wow, the guy was over like Rover. The guy was, everybody was cheering him to win. That would have made it a very intriguing situation for sure. Not that he's ready for it, but wow, testing the waters as they do at WWE. There's a test and a test and another test, and people are liking Big Cass.
Maybe in a year or two, but I mean, he's really green. You can really see it. The comebacks, you know, when you got guys like Rollins and Reigns and all those guys and Owens, those are three great workers in there. You can, but even that, I could see sort of some of the light, so to speak, the cracks in the wall. You could just see he's not ready, and he's not bad, but he's not ready.
Yeah, but he will be. His confidence has improved tremendously.
Yeah.
So that opens up a lot. Very intriguing. And once again, it's the meme that I posted, which is, it's amazing. You put Kevin Owens as a Universal Championship and people stop talking about how ugly the belt is.
Right. No, well, that's a good point. I mean, who cares about the belt being red? I mean, I guess I do. I guess it's pretty funny. Never mind. I take that comment back.
The strawberry shortcake belt for the panda bear of professional wrestling, Kevin Owens.
Hey, you know what? This is a side note, but it's important. I was on my birthday eating strawberry cake. This cake was so good. Okay. Nice. I got it at the local Kroger. And when they introduced the belt, I was like, I need to go. I got some more of that cake left. And that's honestly what happened. And I remember the cake, and I went to go eat some more of it because it's good.
Yeah, I know it's a
really good cake, guys. But that honestly reminded me, and I went to the refrigerator and made it. I'm dead serious.
Nice, nice. Well, going back to Raw, can we talk about earlier that night, the promo where Brock, now we talked a little bit and hinted a little bit about how all of the news has been dominated by WWE as they are shifting to having news stories break every 24 hours news cycle. They're really doing a job, you know, talking about Stephanie McMahon doing the $500
$500
Yeah, there's a $500 fine on Brock Lesnar, and that makes the news. It goes up to Forbes, it goes up to Money Magazine, USA Today. Everybody's covering this.
Okay,
right. So the tons of other things are going on. The reality stuff that's going on. That you know, ESPN of course is really doing a number. Really knowing that, you know, we talk about the ratings and how low they are, but it doesn't count for DVR ratings that the Fed really feeds onto. They use that to help with YouTube numbers, all that stuff. So wrestling is still pretty popular, even though a lot, you know, more than half of its audience is not watching it live.
But I don't ever remember them getting 90,000 people in a stadium. I don't remember that.
No.
Do you? I don't remember them getting 90. I mean, they said it was 100. Okay, well, I don't know what. Who knows what the frickin' number is for this year's WrestleMania.
You know, like I said, if you count Senior Benjamin in there doing the lawn work and you Senior count.
Benjamin wasn't in there.
He wasn't invited. That would have already brought in at least several thousand people, Senior Benjamin.
Well, if you put him in a match, yeah, it might. But no, anyway, I don't ever remember them getting anywhere near that. I remember them getting 27,033. And then, you know, in more recent years, they got 60 to 65 and 55 and, you know, but, you know, what a jump. So, no, people are into wrestling more than ever. And wrestling's better than ever, honestly, if you add it all up all around the world.
Yes.
Japan, Mexico, independent.
Yeah, wrestling's very popular. There's a lot of choice being a wrestling fan. But moving back toward the media and that whole promo that Stephanie and interaction with Stephanie and Paul Heyman in the middle of the ring, wow. You know, the two of them together just was a horrible thing. Like, I could not follow the promo. I mean, if you're listening to the audio version of this, I'm going to splice that section in so you can hear for yourself. It's just a strange thing about $500 not being being laughable, and about Stephanie being mad because of the assault on his brother, and about accusing Paul of being chauvinistic in the face of the Divas Revolution or the Women's Wrestling Revolution and all that other stuff.
That was weird.
When my client Brock Lesnar defeated Randy Orton at SummerSlam, that was a victory for your brand, for our brand, Monday Night Raw, over your brother Shane McMahon's brand, SmackDown Live. Raw won SummerSlam thanks to Brock Lesnar. But I get it. When Brock Lesnar put his hands on an official, when Brock Lesnar hit an F5 on the SmackDown Live commissioner, Brock Lesnar crossed a line. And there is no excuse for what Brock Lesnar. I dropped down to my knees. I begged Brock to stop. I protected Shane McMahon, which is why I'm here tonight, hat in hand, to pay my client Brock Lesnar's most reasonable fine of $500. One, two, three, four.
Heyman's paying with all singles.
Five, six.
You just said it yourself. Brock Lesnar provides value to Monday Night Raw. But what value do you provide, Paul? You think this is some kind of joke? There are no depths that I won't sink to avenge my brother. There is a storm coming, Paul Heyman, and it is coming your ugly way.
And so the angel came down from the heavens above and warned the advocate, you will not survive the impending storm, to wit, the advocate offered, no, my client, Brock Lesnar, is the storm! There is an apology to be offered, and it's 8 days too late. The apology that I'm here tonight to deliver goes straight out to Stephanie McMahon. We put you in a compromising position with the board of directors. A board of directors you, Stephanie, must answer to. And one day, a board of directors, despite your brother's publicly stated intentions, one day you will dictate to. I understand, no, we understand the compromising position we put you in with your father, the chairman of the board, your father who you have to demonstrate to. We understand how far we set back the female empowerment movement that is
in- Female empowerment movement? This is a women's revolution. This is reality, and you're staring it right in the face.
I'm staring in the face of the heir to the boardroom, and as my client Brock Lesnar told me, the only rightful sole heir to the boardroom and the entire McMahon family fortune. All I can say to you is, with great humility, I ask you, I beg you, I supplicate that you accept this as a fine paid, as a lesson learned, and as an apology most sincerely delivered.
Apology accepted.
What is going on here? And then, well, Stephanie leaving the ring saying that you never screw with a McMahon, and then leaving like true. She's defending her brother as a face, and Paul Heyman looking into the camera like he pulled over something, like he talked himself out of something, but mentioning the storm is coming and then having a grin on his face that he just did something devious. I don't get it. What happened here?
I don't think the angle came off right. Obviously, these are the two best promos they have.
Right.
Heyman and McMahon promo people. The problem is they shifted gears, because the whole idea of the $500 was to make fun of the fact that Lesnar beat up her brother. So to shift gears and say, I love my brother, that's what didn't make any sense. And that's the one thing. Other than that, it was, you know, typical Stephanie berating people thing, Heyman doing a good promo. When he was throwing out the $1 bills, though, I thought he was actually trying to pay Sabu for his November to Remember payoff from 98. I thought that's what that was. I'm so sorry.
Right. So there's
no, but
there's
that's how that things. Came across. That, honestly, it was kind of silly, but I thought it was good. I don't know how to explain it, but it didn't make sense either. So I'm like, this is great, but what are you talking about?
I didn't make any sense, but I thought it was hilarious anyway. Nonetheless, interesting stuff. Any other hits or misses for Raw and SmackDown this week for you?
No, but I'll tell you this, man, and this is really important.
Okay.
It's time to take the belt off of Dean Ambrose. It kind of started, when they kept... Cool. No, it started before that to me. I mean, that Stone Cold show is so... The best part is when he said, cut one of your old promos, and he starts cutting this wacky indie promo, and Steve Austin looked at him like this.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best part of the show. Like, what are you doing? Wow, you're really
Steve Austin leaning back in his chair with his hand over his heart.
Like, okay. Yeah, you're not as good as me at promos. It really started with that Jericho match, because he had a lot of online support, okay? And people say online support, IWC, that's everything. Who isn't online finding out information and talking? Who are these people? What, kids that are four? They jobbed out Ambrose again, right? We would say this in late 2015, last year, right? Oh, he should have beat, this was the time to beat Rollins and da-da-da. So finally, he has this mop match or whatever. That's all I remember was he had a mop. Didn't they have a plant and a mop, the Jericho Ambrose match?
Yes, yes, and they had it. They had it in a basically a funhouse match and a steel cage. So,
I was, you know, I like to rate matches because I just do. And I'm literally in my mind thinking this is like a negative star match.
It's the drizzling. It's in the drizzling S era.
Drizzling S's, and then Jericho takes this bombastic tack bump, and I'm like, oh, half a star. You know, so I bumped it from negative one star all the way to half a star, which is a full star and a half bump, which is an incredible bump, you know, to go that high. Only Terry Funk or Atsushi Onita could pull off that type of bump to match rating quality. My point is that's when the cracks were there. It's like, what's up with this Dean Ambrose? He kind of sucks.
Wow.
And, he's kind of boring. And he was much better before. I don't really know what happened. I just don't think he's supposed to be the main eventer. He's the main eventer. The reason he has the belt is because, you know, Reigns got busted for Adderall. That's what happened. They're going with Reigns Rollins. So they put the. They said, "Oh no! Put the belt on Ambrose. Have him feud with Rollins. Reigns is off. That's what happened. Okay, so it's not Ambrose's fault." Then they split the draft. They have to keep it on him. Okay, they do the split. Now he's on SmackDown. They need to give AJ a win before he can. But now it's time to stop this. Mm-hmm. You know, his match. I didn't get to talk about it last week, and I told you that we were texting. But his match with Ziggler. What was that? What kind of? That's the main event for SmackDown's title. What that was just garbage.
Well, SummerSlam was just you. How can you keep an audience up for 8 hours, 7 hours, whatever the length of time was. I mean, by the time the show kicked off, the crowd has already been, you know, wasted. You know, it's just like, oh my God. You know, I don't know.
But nobody thought out that match, it seemed like. Nobody really thought about, well, how are they going to react to this? Ziggler hasn't been pushed in 17 years, and Ambrose is kind of boring when he's not hard. That's the thing. If he's not doing hardcore stuff, he's marginally interesting when he does hardcore stuff. He's really not interesting. He's a good wrestler. It's just this is the main event where you see Seth Rollins and AJ Styles and actually John Cena, who's significantly a better wrestler as it turns out.
I would be curious to see what our PWC fans think is Ambrose's best solo match. I would be interested because you can look at the career. You can look at Kevin Owens and John Cena. You can look at some of those matches that they had when Kevin Owens first entered in the U.S. Open Challenge. You can look at Roman Reigns and you can say WrestleMania with Brock Lesnar. You can look at Seth Rollins. You can look at a tremendous amount of these newer faces in the WWE and go, wow, Sami Zayn versus blah, blah, blah in these
matches. In the last 18 months alone.
Yeah. And then look at Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
And look at the chemistry he's had with other superstars. And then you tell me if this is a good way to position a champion. If this is the person that needs to hold the championship belt at this time. I just don't know if it's there. I don't think there's chemistry there. I think he's a good worker. He hasn't displayed the fire that Stone Cold Austin believes that he can. And I think that's the whole point.
Steve Austin.
Isn't that the whole point, right?
Yeah, Steve Austin's trying to help.
Steve Austin wanted to light a fire in his ass, and he did it on camera. And
can we say that?
Yeah, I can say that. I can say that. We're trying to be PG-13 on this program, by the way. So,
no, wow. God, I'm just direct and normal.
Okay, all right. I'm just trying to be PG-13. So
it's hard. No, listen. The best thing about you made me forget what I was gonna say. Wait a second.
Talking about Dean Ambrose again. And
Dean Ambrose, his Steve Austin. I forgot what I was gonna say. Steve Austin totally crushed Dean Ambrose's title run. No, I mean he really did. What's he gonna do to come back from it now? Oh, I remember what I was gonna say. Okay. When John Cena was a main eventer in 2005, this is my favorite story ever, and John Cena tells it. Steve Austin comes in. He's like, hey, how you doing? He hadn't seen him in 3 years, right? He's like, wow, you're the main event now. He's like, yeah, man, I'm the main. Can you believe it? He's like, yeah, when I last saw you were a rookie and I was leaving, you know? I got arrested for beating on my wife or whatever, right? God. He probably didn't say that.
No, he didn't say that.
That's not allegedly either, okay? And he goes, he looks through the curtain, Austin goes, man, when I was the main eventer, the arena was full. Looks like you got a lot of work to do. And then he walked off. That's Steve Austin right there.
That's right.
He's like, yeah, you're the main event now instead of me? There's about 5,000 people out there instead of 15, so you better figure that out. See you later, buddy. So, and that's what he did to Ambrose. Unfortunately, it was on camera. And Ambrose will never come back from it. Steve Austin laid down the whoop-ass on Dean Ambrose's brains.
You talk about throwing down the gauntlet. And look how successful John Cena has become.
Right.
You know,
yeah, I mean, the
biggest run, and what does Steve Austin say on his show all the time? I have a tremendous amount of respect for John Cena. He's had the biggest run of anyone in this industry. And he's right. He's right. He's had the longest run. Yeah. Austin said, well, he said that not the biggest run, but the longest run, the longest, most successful run, you know. And I said, well, you know, Steve Austin, he had a very small run. But his time was white hot. Like, he was like right under nuclear fission in terms of his hotness, right? Moreover than anybody.
I know. But we got to remember that he got almost paralyzed. I mean, he.
Right. Well, of course.
He's
lucky he
got what he did. I think he had a solid run, though, for what he had. You know, he was for really
Stone
good.
Stone Cold?
Yeah. It wasn't a 25 year Undertaker run or a 30 year Ric Flair run or Bruno headlining a garden 58 straight times, but it was 48, whatever.
But when you look at, or even Hulk Hogan, I mean, when you look at probably the biggest run ever.
I think Hogan's run is similar to his, honestly, because Hogan's 84 to 91, and then Austin's is really 97 to 2002. So I don't see a huge difference in that. Now, Hogan had the second life later on that Austin did, and where he turned heel and then had that
WCW run.
Probably had my favorite WrestleMania match. Honest to God, my favorite WrestleMania match is The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. I've never seen anything like that.
I've never seen anything like it either.
I'm like, what's going on here? Please tell me this isn't that. I hated him at the time, and I still do. You know that. But I can't believe this is happening. What is he doing?
That was a bizarro. That was definitely a bizarro thing.
He's the best. You got to give it up when he did that, though. You're like, how did he do that?
That's right, man. That's what happens when you're working 24/7. When you never stop working, you're always practicing. So Cesaro, by the way, had some kayfabe injuries then online, talking about multiple contusions to his lumbar spine after his match with Sheamus. So that should be interesting. They are setting him up to be a major babyface upon his return.
He's no Magnum TA with this best of seven.
No, he's not.
Sorry.
Or Booker T and the one that you'll go unnamed. So let's
Chris something.
Let's look at this. We're talking about CM Punk.
Okay.
And it looks like the Dr. Amon versus Punk / Colt Cabana lawsuit is still going on, ongoing. And we talked about it on our very first pro wrestling cast about this situation and how we believed, and I know I think I stated pretty adamantly that Vince McMahon is rolling this, is funding this this lawsuit with Dr. Amon, even though it's not necessarily done that way. What are the updates on that?
Well, the big thing, the rumor mill says that Colt Cabana doesn't follow CM Punk on Twitter. So that was sort of a thing, but more so that, that's the biggest news really of all, because that proves it, right? So, supposedly Cabana was backstage at Raw. Punk got through a hissy fit and they had a falling out. And, Punk's about to fight Mickey Gall. He is a 3-1 underdog. So that fight should be really interesting. I would honestly pull out if I were him, because I saw his striking skills in the UFC video they put out. And I don't know about this one now, John. I'm really worried for him. So bankrolling against, him, the Dr. Amon thing, obviously the first thing I think I said after a big mark for Stan Hansen, the second thing I said ever on this show was, don't blank with this company. They don't mess around. They act like any big corporation that feels like they're being attacked by any one entity. They will take you on with full force, and they will go all jumping Jeff. They will go all the way with it. And that's what so what do you do? I'm going to attack your friend, okay? And now the friend maybe you know, the intense pressure. You know, this is all about pressure. When Richard Nixon wanted to put an end to John Lennon speaking out against him, he got, you know, the deportation people on him. It wrapped him up for 5 or 6 years. There was so much pressure. It was so distracting, he didn't know what to do. You can read up on that. The FBI has released those transcripts now. And that's a similar philosophy to this. Let's put so much pressure on this guy, Cabana, that he folds. So I think Cabana's probably shifted to where he's cool with them. Like, please don't sue me for $2 million. Please don't bankrupt me forever and change my life forever. You know, CM Punk probably has $5 to $10 million in the bank. And he will probably have to, they want back that money that he won in that lawsuit. And they'll probably get it back. And they ended his friendship with Cabana. That's the sort of stuff that you deal with these guys. Mm-hmm. They don't play.
They don't play. They don't play around.
Don't mess with them.
Don't mess with Vince.
You know, and when you see Kota Ibushi go back to DDT Pro for some wacky match, like, why isn't he on Raw? That's Kota just doesn't want to deal with the company. It shocked them. It's like, look, I'm an independent wrestler. I do flippy moves. I do my thing. I'll come and hang out for a minute. But to be under that umbrella, you're very much under control. You could bring up the Ryback thing if you wanted to in the same way. You know, he didn't want to. Supposedly, they offered him $500,000 a year, and I guess he turned that down. But you know what I mean? He just didn't want to be a part of it, probably. Mm-hmm. Cody and Del Rio, and you know.
Okay, so let's talk about this. I know our time is getting short. So we have the suspensions that we have, you know, Paige, Del Rio. We find out that Del Rio is still married along with when he was dating with Paige, but his wife was estranged, and right. Eva Marie got suspended and all that other stuff for Adderall, apparently, allegedly. But, you know, but then we also find out that Del Rio is also not wanting to come back.
Del Rio's gone.
Yeah.
He had an out clause and he took it and they took it too. And, you know, they were both approached privately to end the relationship, and they didn't want to do it. And Del Rio wanted to get out, and they split him up in the draft. And they, I mean, I don't know why he ever came back. You know, I guess that rumored $700,000 or $800,000 a year contract was real. I cannot believe he'd pay somebody that much money to do what they did with him. They absolutely
screwed him up,
botched that so bad. And he'll go back to AAA or possibly Lucha Underground or CMLO, and he will make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll go to Japan. I don't see that happening. TNA probably doesn't have enough money to pay him.
No.
And he might do a little Ring of Honor appearance or Evolve just to have some fun. But, you know, the man is his own man, and he, you know, he'll do what he wants to do. And if he wants to date the little 23-year-old, he'll just go do it, you know, mm-hmm. and he'll just quit. You know, not so much that, you know, he cares about her, but just more so being told what to do. I don't know that part exactly, but to me,
Steven, that's why he's getting a divorce.
He's getting a divorce. And do you know they took that picture like when he was still married? That's the best part of it all.
I know. Look online and let's see what happens infidelity wise.
This guy's got a lot of,
All right.
I'm impressed.
So did you know that they're redoing the Glow TV show, The Glorious Ladies of Wrestling?
Gorgeous, you know, Ladies of Wrestling.
Gorgeous, sir. Did I say glorious? Gorgeous. I'm sorry. Bobby Roode took over for a minute. The producers of GLOW have found their lead star. Did you know that? Through the Hollywood Reporter, Alison Brie of Community has been named the lead star in the women's wrestling remake, which will be released on Netflix in a 10-episode run.
I can
follow Brie's character wanting to struggle in women's wrestling in the late 80s to become a star. And this is going to be cool. It's supposed to be a weekly series about female wrestlers featuring Hollywood notable producers and showrunners. Apparently, people are really behind this kind of comedic / dramedy of GLOW. Isn't that interesting?
You know, I cannot think of a more offensive show than The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling in the 80s. I mean, it was just...
What would Ivory say to that?
Well, her role, what was her name? Ferrari?
Tina Ferrari.
They actually pushed, you know, like, kind of like Charlotte, maybe, as a babyface. Everything else was just really check off the checkbox of awful 80s misogynistic.
Well, it was supposed to be ideology. Like wrestling and hee-haw, you know, basically put together. It was very skit-oriented. And
I watched them all.
I watched it, too.
I watched every episode. And it was... It was. I would say it was borderline insidious.
Did you see the documentary that I told you about? Did you finally see it?
No, because I really hate it that much. But I guess show's sake, I needed to do that.
Okay.
But I honestly was really offended that that TV show even existed. And the gentleman that made it, I can't remember his name.
He did
the WOW pay-per-view. Do you remember the Women of Wrestling pay-per-view in 2001?
Yes.
It was like the same offensive stuff just 15 years later.
Yeah.
They had the Japanese women's... Oh, John, look, we talk about racism against Asians a lot on this show. The two Japanese women wrestlers come out. The theme song goes da 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 da. Are you kidding me? You're doing that in the 2000s? Oh, you just made everything worse.
I can't help it. I'm Asian. I can do that.
No, you can't.
No, I can't.
You're not Japanese.
I know. Okay, so. Here we are.
You just screwed that all up. An insidious 80s show glow.
Our time is running out. I know. Did you have a couple things you wanted to mention? I know we wanted to talk about TNA because their big pay-per-view is coming up.
Big pay-per-view? Who did you hear that?
Well, their big show is coming up. It's not a pay-per-view.
Well, so the
big
only
show is coming up.
The only thing interesting I wanted to say was they're going to do the Delete or Decay show. Mm-hmm. And that's been filmed. Final Deletion Part 2. Okay, Final Deletion, you'll never beat it. It was so great. The minute I saw those drones, you know, I just knew that, this was the best. And it remains the best thing of the year. And the Decay is actually a decent little idea. It's actually, to me, a little better than the Wyatts. You know, Rosemary sort of... Mm-hmm. We're actually a really great indie wrestler coming in to actually making a statement. How is she not the women's champion? That doesn't make sense.
Mm.
Crazy Steve, whose name does not match his character or his look, but whatever. Anyway, the group's been good. Those two especially have impressed me. So we should see something really interesting. I would have done this match like at Halloween. I think that would have made a lot more sense, don't you? You know, and
I think so.
You know, get some pumpkins and stuff. You know,
there may be more to it. You know, this is the first thing, and they alluded to it with the supposed kidnapping of Maxwell with the Decay, and
it's
interesting. I will say this, that the Hardys are still over. Man, and the Hardys Delete versus Decay is one thing, but I think Delete versus the Elite is actually pretty cool. If you look on our Facebook page at Pro Wrestling Cast, you'll see I posted a match of the Young Bucks versus Matt and Jeff Hardy, where they were the Elite versus Delete, which I think was hilarious. So
that was a really fun match. The crowd heat was great.
I mean, obviously,
when you go overseas, you get to certain markets, you can get really great heat, but. Yeah, I did watch that entire match.
Yeah, it was fun, right?
It was long. It was about 28 to 30 minutes altogether. But
they earned their money for that night. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, the Young Bucks always do. And and the Young Bucks are still a really fun team. And I'm glad they got over their injuries and they're doing all their great wacky Meltzer driver spots again. So yeah, Delete or Decay. Look out for that next week. I can't believe that we're promoting TNA so much. But again, to bring it back to where we were about one promo changing everything, like with The Miz, that essentially happened with TNA. So you really have one thing to me that's super interesting, which is Matt Hardy and his ideas, and it's enough to keep me going back to the show. So that just shows you that one thing, one promo, one guy, whatever, can turn around.
You're right.
If it's good enough a brand. Steve Austin did it, obviously, too. So
yep. Just really quick, Ring of Honor announced the main event of their next pay-per-view. The new ROH World Champion Adam Cole will defend against Michael Elgin in the main event of All-Star Extravaganza September 30th in Lowell, Massachusetts. ROH is fighting, flashing back to 2014 when Elgin ended Cole's first ROH title reign at Best in the World in 2014. Elgin then lost to Jay Briscoe, who lost to Jay Lethal, who lost the title to Cole at Death Before Dishonor on the 19th of August, just a few weeks ago, which was, by the way, still a great show. It's too late now to kind of go back and check mark that off our list in terms of talking about it.
Right.
Seek it out if you can.
You know, Elgin's had an MVP year. I just wanted to say that. I haven't talked about him a lot on the show. He's been absolutely excellent with New Japan. He was just real good in Ring of Honor. I kind of thought that Roderick Strong was going to end up at New Japan. It ended up being Elgin. Everybody's like, that's weird, and da-da-da, and he's Tanahashi's buddy. He's done nothing but put on great matches. He was excellent in the G1. He was excellent in the matches he had with Kenny Omega, the ladder match, and winning the belt. And he will now probably have an excellent main event with Adam Cole, and then he will definitely be dropping his title in New Japan to Naito, the greatest wrestler in the world today.
Are once again getting ready for the big backlash show. It's going to be happening Sunday. This Sunday, can you believe it? 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. We'll probably reconvene and do kind of like a pick show halfway through the week.
After
it is that soon. So don't forget about that. One of the main events will be RKO versus Wyatt. So that should be a really interesting show for sure. You've got Ziggler and Miz and the never ending Miz Intercontinental Championship Tour, Ambrose and AJ Styles, and the tournament for the tag team belts continues. Usos with American Alpha versus Hype Bros and Rhino and Slater to determine the champions at Backlash. We're going to find out what happens there. And of course, the Women's Six-Pack Challenge. Will Nikki Bella continue to gain momentum, or will it go to someone new? Maybe Becky Lynch will finally get her.
I bet it's Carmella. Champion. I bet it's Carmella.
Could be Carmella. You know, you just never know. We shall see what happens. And we'll have our picks later on this week. Our promo of the week, Steven, you want to set this up?
Yes, our promo of the week.
It's actually a clip of the week.
Okay.
Makes for an interesting promo.
The quick tie into this whole thing, and I'll be very brief, is they added a new Hidden Gems to the WWE Collection series on the network. So this network drop, it happens Tuesday, which is, I think, the 6th, right? The day after Labor Day. And they have tons of good stuff. They have the Battle of Atlanta, which everyone kind of thought was the last Battle of Atlanta. Buzz Sawyer and Tommy Rich, which everybody thought was lost, is on there. And a Wyndham Flair match. I'm just kind of looking at it. But they have Bret Hart against Terry Funk from the retirement show of Terry Funk in 1997. Now, 19 years later, we just saw Terry Funk get hit with a fireball by Jerry Lawler, but so be it. This retirement show was featured, and it's a great match. You know, it was only sold on ECW Video for, I think, WrestlePalooza 97, if I'm not mistaken. And Dennis Stamp is one of the greatest characters ever. He's in the movie Beyond the Mat. Now, Beyond the Mat features this match, okay, and the build-up to it. And Dennis is an old school wrestler. I've seen him have some matches in AWA stuff from the 70s. He's actually a very good just a very good, strong NWA styled 70s wrestler. You know, Harley Race kind of styled after kind of guy. And, you know, he's 50 in this, and people want to make fun of him. And, you know, he's an exterminator, and he works out with barbells on the trampoline, and it's all very silly. But this particular promo is the greatest thing I've ever heard. Where he you know, Terry Funk is actually at the show setting it up, and it was a very successful indie show. It drew thousands of people. You know, it was an independent show with wrestlers from ECW and WWF at the time. And, you know, Dennis Stamp wanted to be on the show. You know, one part that's not in this promo that he says before in the movie is, I don't know which wrestler's wrestling, no offense to the guy wrestling Dory Funk Jr. tonight, but I could have had a much better match than him. And that wrestler was, in fact, Rob Van Dam. I just thought that was interesting that he thought he should have replaced Rob Van Dam. So anyway, Dennis is angry. He's not booked. And he uses the greatest line I've ever heard. I guess I was down slow, you couldn't hear me, that I use over and over again in my life. And I love Dennis Stamp, and he's over with me. And if I had a promotion, I would book him all the time. And it's one of my, it's not really a promo. It's kind of a hidden camera, you know, kind of caught on film kind of moment. And it's excellent. And Terry Funk is great as the timely Terry Funk. I just show up to the show. Just come on to the show. Old nice Texan guy. Who's nice, but he could whoop your ass.
That, my friends, is going to be our promo of the week. Steven, where can people find you?
Dr. Deathmark on Twitter.
Very good. Al John, P Wrestling Cast on Twitter, ProWrestlingCast.com. Al John Rocks on Twitter as well. Jedi Mouseketeer on Twitter. You can follow me in so many different places. Don't forget to check us out at ProWrestlingCast.com, and we will see you next week. Oh, yes.
What? What happened?
Head. Don't forget to tuck your head.
Starscream for life. Nick Bockwinkel.
Starscream 2016.
Same thing.
Promo of the week.
Terry wasn't the only wrestler who lived in Amarillo.
The other one was unfortunately not as successful. Dennis Stamp had over 800 matches, none of them main events. Now an exterminator, he was the self-proclaimed King of the Cockroaches.
Are you coming to the show Thursday night?
No, I won't be.
Why not?
I'm not booked, for one thing. And what really bothers me is Dory Funk Jr. I have nothing against the man he's wrestling, but I could swear to you, I could guarantee to you that no one could have a better match with Dory than I would have. So that part hurts. But I really wanted to be on as a referee, but the people who make the decision, whoever that would be, didn't offer me any position. So I'm not booked. I won't be here. I don't do any tricks, but I just jump.
I stay fit. I watch what I eat because I never know when my next match is going to be. You know, I had my last match, I think it was 1991. So it gets to be a lot longer between matches. But I never know when I'm going to have my next match. So I've got to stay in shape for that. I've got to be ready. You know, I'm only 50 now and the phone could ring at any time, you know.
How's everything going?
I'm not going to be here, but...
Why aren't you?
Because I'm not booked.
You're not going to be here. Why aren't you going to be here? Please be here.
I'm not going to be here, Terry, because I'm not booked. That's an old rule. That's an old rule I've had for a long time. Because I'm not involved.
I want you to come, please.
Well,
I'm asking you to please come. All right.
I already have other arrangements, and don't take it personally, because I used to be in the dressing room and I used to see the old guys. And that's where I am now. I used to see the old guys that came in the dressing room that come around, and they looked like old dogs, just hoping somebody would recognize them. Here, Spot.
Then why don't you come and see us?
I really have to be involved, and I'm not.
I want you to be there.
You know, and I did, ask you in April if I could referee some matches on the card, which would have been.
You're refereeing tonight,
which would have been.
You're refereeing tonight.
But I'm not on the card. I'm not booked.
You want to referee me and Brett? Referee me and Brett.
I already have other arrangements made, Terry.
I want you to referee me and Brett.
I'm just. I guess. Okay. So what happened?
I'm
I guess you just.
900 miles an hour.
I guess it was just so far down. I guess you just didn't hear me or something when I asked you before.
I don't.
Or didn't
Dennis,
think about it.
I didn't
it,
even know about it. But I want you to. I want you to.
I appreciate that.
Okay. I want you. To. Okay. Will you please do it.
Appreciate
it's
that.
It's my last match. It's my last match. Tell me if you can, because I would love it.
Okay.
I'd love to have you there.
I appreciate that, Terry.
I should be there.
I appreciate that. Were you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Okay, it's cost me $134 to change my ticket.
Well,
I make that much?
Well, I was going to pay you.
Close.
I was going to pay you 50.
I'll get half of it back, right?
I was going to pay you 50, Dennis. Thank you.
You mean you're going to double pay me?
Yeah.
My wife says, do you really want to do it? I almost broke down and said, it's the main event. It's the main event. You think I'm not going to be in a main event?
Thank you,
man. I'd rather be in the main event than breathe.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.